Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And together, we host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crimedy.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
The freight train woke up. Choo-choo! Choo-choo! Yeah, still waiting for that freight train to wake up in the second round, I tell you that much. Anyway, welcome back. Final hour of power right here on a Monday afternoon. We are going to break away from this, but everybody's got a response and everybody's got a reaction. Now, just real quickly, something that I teased before the top of the hour. Here on the Team 980, there is a report. And again, as we've been talking about, I think Ryan Clark crossed a line by bringing the wife in, all of that, and Robert and his ex-wife and White and all that stuff. Didn't have to go there. Paulie just explained his perspective. I get that. I forgot about that over the weekend. I was trying to deal, you know, with life stuff. So I still think Ryan Clark crossed the line, but it's a little bit more maybe understandable based on the shenanigans. This has never changed. Robert Griffin III is completely tone deaf. Always has been, always will be, always has been unaware of the things that he does that drives people insane. And apparently it very much did the people at ESPN and Ryan Clark as well. Now, separate, let's take a sec. Different story. You all know that there's been a very famous couple in the news, in the sports media landscape for the last several months. Again, I don't care one ounce, but it's always in the news. So we do, from time to time, have to talk about it. Bill Belichick and Jordan Hudson. Apparently, according to the New York Times, Jordan Hudson has told at least one person that she and Belichick are engaged to be married. Belichick is 73. Hudson is, of course, 24. A lot of people are up in arms over the Michael Strahan Good Morning America Bill Belichick interview that people thought it was Cupcake Central. I did not see it. I don't care. I did hear a clip of it driving back, something about, you know, Strahan asking Belichick about Jordan Hudson or in some way, shape, or form, and Bill bristling a little bit, but saying that, eventually admitting that he was happy. Fine. As long as, I mean, it's a little bit weird that she is as involved in his life on camera and in public spaces. But as long as she is not calling plays in the huddle, running practices, making decisions, and, you know, we just have to kind of wait for the jury to be out on that one. They can do whatever they want. No, I don't care. Good for Bill, man. Good for Bill. Atta boy, hoodie. Good for him. Now, again, she comes across in a certain controlling way that I don't particularly like. But that's not me crossing a line and criticizing her. That's her interjecting herself into the public space with the 60 Minutes interview. And with other things. But before that, didn't really said anything. I mean, if they want to play footsies on the beach, God bless them. Let them play footsies on the beach. If they want to go and get engaged, so be it. Right? By the way, being engaged doesn't mean that, you know, they're getting married. If they are engaged, doesn't mean that they're getting married. Lots can happen, okay? But that is a significant step. The point being is, good. I mean, as long as, again, she's not calling plays and designing, practice schedules at North Carolina, it's hard for me to get mad. I mean, again, what happened during that 60-minute interview was really weird, and it became such a big story that we can't possibly ignore it all. What happened with Clark and RG3 over the weekend and yesterday, again, took on a life of its own. And even if, as Paulie pointed out, and AMAC, you pointed out something, you know, that maybe between the initial thing that Robert put out and the bad blood between the two, right, that triggered Ryan Clark to kind of go that extra mile, that extra... Am I paraphrasing what you said to me during the break, right? Or
yeah, just that, like, knowing who Robert Griffin is and the video that was put out that Paulie was referring to, having his wife in there talking about Angel Reese, by the way, outside of a basketball play, wasn't basketball, where he was talking about how much she hates Caitlin Clark. I think that culminates into Ryan Clark's opinion on RG3 not being informed when it comes to talking about Angel Reese.
Not culminates, but leads to.
Yeah. It gives him, in my opinion, it gives him an understandable ground of why he's taking that stance against Robert Griffin.
Meaning if the wife wasn't in the original criticism video, whatever.
Yes.
Do you suspect that Ryan Clark wouldn't have gone there?
If the wife wasn't in there, and then how RG3 has spoken about race with his wife before and with other women before. Robert Griffin has said things that alarmed people before and has gotten people mad before. This isn't the first time.
No.
When it comes to race specifically. So with that history, my point is, I don't think it's Robert Griffin has a white wife, therefore he cannot speak on black women. That's not the point that I think Ryan Clark is trying to make. It's just the history of the person more so, and this video with the wife in it that leads to Ryan Clark saying the things that he said.
And it's fair. Like, now we know how bad the blood is between the two. If you just, again, rewind and say, all right, part of the reason, if not maybe a lot of the reason, why he felt comfortable in saying that is because he knows stuff that simply we do not know.
Yes.
About Robert Griffin. Now, and that could be as a teammate here in Washington. That could be more probably as a teammate at ESPN. So, you just keep rolling with the punches, man. Gives us stuff to talk about. All right. Let's do this. Let's get a couple of last calls on this, and then we'll move along. I want to talk about the Nationals. They swept the Orioles over the weekend. That's what I want to talk about. Lou is in D.C. What up, Lou? How are you? Lou! All right, Lou is not paying attention. Let's put him back on hold. We'll check on him in a sec. Jonesy is with us. What's up, Jonesy? How are you?
Brewster, welcome back, man.
Thank you, Jonesy.
How are you doing?
How are you?
Yes, indeed. Missed you, too. But check this out, man. Look, I've been listening for a blue minute, and I agree wholeheartedly with Paulie. I'm sorry. RG3 is a complete basket case. The things that comes out of his mouth is half the time is unbelievable. Now, with that said, Ryan, I don't think he should have went as far as he went as far as his family. But no, I have to agree again, like I said, with Paulie, Yeah, well, you put yourself out there on social media with the video. You got your wife in the background. You do open yourself, and you do put her in a line of fire for people to come after you. This just being, this just comes off the back of somebody of ilk here and Ryan Clark. Now, yeah, it's a joke. He needs to stop it. I think both those guys need to sit down, and he needs to stop it. I mean, Robert Griffin needs to stop doing what he's doing. Because I remember at a pizza opening, I remember a former teammate of his being, you know, opening a pizza joint and was giving us some wild stuff about Robert in the locker room. And that's one of the reasons why he lost his job there. And what he said over the radio, I remember the last impression that was made. Said, yeah, Rob is in the media now. He won't be there for long.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, when he said what he said across that TV, I thought about the former player.
I know who that former player was. And listen, I'm being nice when I said Robert has always been tone deaf.
Yeah, he has been tone deaf and oblivious to reality. But yeah. we're going to leave all that alone. Let me go to the Nationals right quick, and I'm out. Birdman, sorry about your Orioles, but my Nationals got a good sweep. Yeah. And so, meantime, Rooster, welcome back again. Keep on doing what you're doing, and don't let cookie cutter radio happen here.
Attaboy! That's my guy, Jonesy. Thank you, brother. I hope you had a good weekend, Jonesy. That's funny. Let's get to Telly in D.C. What up, Telly? How are you?
Hello to the Redskins. Chris Hustle, what's poppin'?
Where you been, baby?
Hey, man, you know, I'm cooler, man. You know, weather breaking. You know, I'm chilling, man.
Coming out of hibernation? Is that what you're telling me?
I'm grinding. Grinding, man, grinding. You know, sometimes you got to lay low when you grinding, that's all. But, yeah, you know, I'm going against the quote-unquote popular opinion. Mm-hmm. So, Robert got every right to defend himself, whether you like it or not. He got every right to defend himself. Far as the comments made, okay, they comments, whatever. Whatever you don't like about him, whatever he did, or whatever he be doing on social media, or whatever, that's his prerogative. We don't have plenty people on ESPN or on sports radio. We got a daggone quote unquote commander T to be saying outlandish things. I mean, you do what you do. You know what I mean? But what I'm gonna go with, I mean, if the man want to defend himself, he defend himself. If we got a right to free speech, say what you want to say, he say it. That's all I want to say, man. You be easy, man, of the Redskins.
All right, Tell, thank you. I appreciate it. Good to hear from you. Telly out of hibernation. Let's wrap it up. Lou is apparently back with us. On the team 980. Hello, Lou.
What's up? What's going on, Rooster? How you doing?
What's shaking, Lou? What's going on?
Not a whole lot, man. I think to me, you know, your boy RG, whatever, Three Sticks.
My boy. How does he become whatever. My boy? We haven't talked in 9 years.
You're trying to come on the radio, trying to kind of defend what he said about, you know.
Let's get this clear. I just said I thought Ryan Clark crossed the line that he shouldn't have. I didn't try and defend Robert in any way, shape, or form.
He tried to cater to his wife, and he tried to come on. Hey, look, I'm not even trying to go. Like, I don't want to go there. I'm just trying to make a little points. I think to me, you know, the media try to make it a black and white situation. That's what it is. You know, RG3, he wants attention. That's what he's a diva, and he try to, you know, all this nonsense. Ryan attacking me and my family. He never said anything about his family. He just made a point. That's what it was.
But he did. I mean, he did. Now, the context is we don't know if he only said that because of what was going on in Robert's original thing. That we don't know. But just the point, and again, I've tried to explain this, like, I don't agree with a lot of things some of my colleagues say, but I wouldn't cross the line and say, well, you know, their wife is, floozy, you know? I wouldn't do that. That's me.
Chris, but RG3 saying, you know, Angela Reese hate. Like, why would you use that kind of word? Why are you throwing that kind of word out there?
Because,
like, this is a game.
Yeah, because, again, as I've tried to explain, Robert is tone deaf. He's unaware of the words that he uses and how they hurt people. And how they stick to people. It was always a problem for Robert here. We tried to tell everybody that, but nobody wanted to pay attention because, as usual, this team was swept up and infatuated by somebody they thought was the next savior. But Robert was his greatest undoing. Robert. Not the media, not Jay Gruden, not Mike Shanahan, not Kyle Shanahan. Robert was his own undoing.
Yeah, I just think Ryan was trying to make a point. Watching or listening to Ryan, he never come across, you know, saying crazy stuff about people. If he say something and meant something, and he's trying to make a point, and he's not trying to, you know, like, you know, the way RG3 was saying that, you know, attacking me and my family, whining about this and that and third. Man, dude, man, you need to shut up and use a better word instead of saying hate. Like, come on, man. You know how
that's
fair.
That's fair. You know what, Lou? That's your money point right there. You know, like,
exactly.
say Angel Reese clearly doesn't like Caitlin Clark.
Exactly.
Angel
just
Reese,
like, you know?
I mean, even if he said, now if he said Angel Reese is jealous of Caitlin Clark, that is a hot button word too, or envious of Caitlin Clark. But to say hate takes it to a different level. So that's why when somebody comes on and says, well, you're a hater, you hate, I'm going to give you an example. If I have to be critical of Jaden Daniels, well, you're a hater. Or Brian Robinson. Well, you're a hater.
Right.
No, actually, you're not. But when you say someone is hating, someone hates, that is a different level of conversation than, hey, man, I don't like the way this person handled this. I think there is some jealousy or some envy or some competitive, spirit gone wrong, whatever you want to call it. And that's the problem, is you have to be ultra aware of the things and how you say it.
And Robert Griffin is not aware of the things that he be saying out of his mouth. And I know damn well Ryan Clark, when he speaks, trust me, he makes sense every time when he say things. And he wasn't a child, you know, I'm not even going to go back to the whole attack and stuff, but I'm just saying RG3 say, you know, that the hate word, that's powerful. You don't say that. It's a competition.
That's fair.
She fouled her. Shawty from D.C., and she's going to get up and say, yeah, what's up?
I think that's,
you know,
I think that's a good way to end this conversation, Lou, and I'm just going to leave it right there. I appreciate it. I'm glad you said that. Again, the hate word is different than like, dislike, jealous, envy, whatever. Right? Hate just takes on a different connotation. It does. It just does. As far as Ryan Clark goes, listen, I'm not, like, here to tell you, I don't listen to the Pivot podcast at all, ever. I mean, I see it come across my timeline. I might click on it, a clip, just to see what everybody's thought. That's it. I don't. So I'm missing context in that regard, okay? But I'm not one of these guys that swears by people and thinks that everything somebody says doesn't have an ulterior motive, right? I mean, I just know the power of the spoken word is a really powerful thing. It's a dangerous thing. It's something that, quite honestly, I struggle with and battle all the time. How harsh do I want to be? How critical do I want to be? What language do I want to use? What words do I choose? And sometimes I ain't perfect at it, believe it or not. A lot of times I'm not perfect at it or even good enough at it. And again, I have learned over 30 years in this business, hey man, different way to say things, different way to say things, but you can make the same point. And also, back off. Maybe, truly, you may not like certain things that Angel Reese says or does, just using her as the example, but you're not her. You don't understand her. You don't walk in her shoes, good and bad. You don't know what she has to deal with, good and bad. So I always have to be cognizant of that. All right, 22 minutes after the hour on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. I do want to get to the Nationals. You guys keep calling about this. I mean, listen, we talk about what's hot on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And together, we host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crimedy.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Incredibly stupid take. You suck. Some of you might accuse me of that. You know, from time to time it happens. As I said earlier, I've never claimed to be an expert in anything.
I thought you were going to say, I've never had a stupid take. I was going to say,
In what, the last 2.5 hours, I've probably had a few, right? Right, Amac?
We all have some.
Right.
We all have some.
Like, the Commanders are going to beat the New York Giants 40-3 on opening day.
Let me be honest. This summer has been an exercise of restraint. Some of the things that you and your callers and other people in the radio station think about your Commanders going into this season, wow. You're
all hot and bothered. You're all flustered.
A little bit.
Russell Wilson is out there with Ciara at Yankee Stadium the other night.
Ciara. Come on now.
What did I say? Ciara. Oh, what the hell's the difference? Ciara, whatever. I mean, Russ is still looking for something in her back pocket. Ba-dum-bum. Just teasing. Anyway. All right, let's get back to the calls and wrap this up because we get just people will keep wanting to chime in. And I knew this was going to happen, and that's why we chose to talk about it because it's a Tuesday and there was nothing going on in sports last night. Honestly, we need good rivalries. Rivalries drive emotion. And this show and sports talk radio feeds off of emotion, right? And people's feelings. Let's get to James in D.C. What's up, James? How are you?
I'm doing fine. How about yourself,
Dave? Good, man. What's going on?
All right, so I want to say that Robert is not tone deaf. The term that he used, I'm from D.C. The term he used, hate, is the same as saying envious, jealous. Ever since Angel won the title in college and she didn't get the acclaim that she feels that she should have had over top of Caitlin, she's been hating, envious, jealous of everything that has happened since then for Caitlin. Caitlin is a superior player. While I can appreciate the skill set that Angel has, Caitlin is a superior player.
Mm-hmm.
She's what people want to see, and Angel just is going to have to deal with that.
All right, so that's a great point, but I wanted to double down and ask you. You're saying you feel hate is the same as envious or jealous. I distinguish between. I would say that if Robert had said Angel is envious, Angel is jealous, I still think it would have been polarizing, but hate, to me, is a different word. Explain, from your perspective, why it's the same in your eyes.
Well, I mean, I'm an African-American male. I grew up in Washington, D.C. It's the term that we use. It's widely used by fellow African-Americans. It's part of rap culture. Most people know exactly what that means. Ryan knows what it means.
Okay.
It's just that once Ryan said what he said, and then Robert tried to defend himself, then Ryan revealed to us all what his real issue was with Robert. He felt slighted because Robert invited somebody on his show.
Yeah.
That Ryan moved to ask him a question.
Yeah.
That was the real issue that Ryan had, is he wanted to clap back on Robert, and I felt it was unfair because it's 2025. Who cares what race your wife is? You marry somebody because you love him. It doesn't make him any less of a African American, and he grew up in a home with his mother and father who are African American. So of course he's heard his mother talk about the plight of black
you
women.
You know, that's
a
really good point right there. And again, by no means am I sitting here trying to defend RG3. Again, I was bothered by Ryan Clark crossing that line. I didn't feel that was necessary at all. I do think he is tone deaf in a lot of the things he said. Maybe not particularly in this particular incident, but you could argue that Robert went too far. But your greatest point there, and I should have brought this up, and I'm so disappointed in myself, is that Robert grew up, again, in a military household, his parents both black. Period. And that does, so like Ryan's point, Clark's point, is Robert can't possibly know about hating someone as a black woman to a white woman because he's married to white women. Well, wait a second. To your point, and it's absolutely true, unless I'm missing something here, and I met Robert's mom, your point is absolutely correct. Now, he doesn't live with her anymore and hasn't for a while, but still, the lessons that you learn over the first, 20 years of your life or whatever it is, and presumably still in whatever relationship he has with his mom, absolutely could influence how he thinks and operates and what he says.
Yeah, I agree.
All right.
Well, thank you for listening
you,
to what I had to say.
No, thank
Enjoy
you.
The show.
I appreciate it. Thank you. That's a good call. All right, let's quickly squeeze in Little. One last call on this, and then we got to shut it down, guys. Little, what's up? How are you?
Rooster, cock-a-doodle-doo, welcome back. Shout out
Thank
to your
you.
Man, AMAC.
Yes, sir. Do we have to shout out to AMAC? He's just a bitter Giants fan.
You know what, though? AMAC, that's going to be a good game. Open up season. If I was you, AMAC, I'd take the Giants to cover.
Well,
Lou, shout out to my man, Lou. Keep your head up, Lou. Caps got to get faster, man. That's the bottom line. They got to get that speed going on. Hey, look. That's why Robert Three Sticks not in the league right now. He got everybody's attention. This is what he do, Rooster. You know him better than me. Robert Three Sticks, the NFL promote, we shall not hate. That's why he's not in the NFL right now. But simple as that, I want to piggyback off of what the conversation about the junkies, and I'm going to get off the line too. I'm going to tell you right now, this is how I look at it. The Philadelphia offensive line can't carry the Hogs jockey strap. That's how I look at it. Anytime y'all say y'all Pro Bowlers and y'all feel compassion about the push, you can't carry the Hogs jockey strap. And I hope y'all use this as a soundbite, Houston. You can't carry the Hogs jockey strap. Because the Hogs, they never had nobody to push to asset them when it came to getting a yard or two. That's how I look at it. Philadelphia fans, and I hope y'all listening. You can't carry the Hogs jockey strap. You heard it for Little. Hey, look, guess what? After Memorial Week, the bill will be signed for the new stadium. God bless y'all. Stay up, big fella.
Thank you, Little. You want to cut that up, AMAC? Is it a jock strap or a jockey strap? I thought it was a jock strap.
Yeah, jock. That's
but,
how I refer
But jockey
to it.
Is like the brand of underwear, right? But
yeah,
like a jock strap. I mean, like what athletes wear to protect their junk. Is a jock strap, not a jockey strap, right?
Yeah, I know a jockey to be like a person.
Yeah, like, well, yeah, a horse jockey. By the way, Did you see the Preakness Stakes on Saturday or any of the highlights?
Yes. Mike, love horse racing. Good. Just a big horse racing guy.
You don't have to be a liar and a faker. Don't say that. Journalism, man. Woo! What a freaking race. Holy mother of mercy to win the Preakness at Pimlico. All right, time for a trending alert, and then we will come back with a look-see at the Nats and the Braves next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, indeed, the Nats and the Braves do get going if the weather holds up, and hopefully it will. 6:45 scheduled first pitch for the 24 and 23 Bravos and the 21 and 27 Nationals. Off the day off and off the three-game sweep of the Baltimore Orioles. Tonight it'll be Mitchell Parker, who has struggled command-wise over the last month, 3-3 with a 4.32 ERA, but a whip of 1.30 against Spencer Strider, who is 0-1 with a 3.60 ERA. 6:45 the first pitch, 106.7 the Fan, and the Odyssey app for Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler. Key homestand for the Nationals if they want to draw back into contention. We've been talking about Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, and then the fallout between Ryan Clark and Robert Griffin all afternoon long. Well, as we told you about last hour, the Fever Sky game on Saturday afternoon, which started all this, and the shove and the foul between Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, was the most watched, according to the numbers, television ratings, you take that as it is, 2.7 million viewers, the most watched WNBA regular season contest in 25 years. And apparently the game peaked at 3.1 million viewers. Tonight, the NHL's Eastern Conference Finals start. The defending Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers are in Raleigh against the Carolina Hurricanes, who knocked out the Capitals in five games last week. That face-off at 8 o'clock. Meanwhile, at 8:30, the Western Finals in the NBA start. Minnesota is at Oklahoma City. And that is what's trending.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And together, we host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crime-ity.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
If only there was a song like this that maybe would have been about Baltimore and the Nationals going into Baltimore and sweeping the Orioles. That would have been cool. But that tune is always good. So a good choice by AMAC. We won't hold it against him. The Nationals return home tonight, 6:45. I might be the only one that cares. This is a huge series for the Nationals. A monster series. Monster. Because they're 21 and 27. And coming off the three-game sweep, you say, well, wait a second, it's the Orioles. The Orioles suck. And granted, they do. They're 15 and 31 now. They fired their manager, so on and so forth. So you have to take it into context. But the Orioles had won 90-plus games in the last 2 years, each of the last 2 years. So you take that into context as well. If the Nationals would have lost two out of three, people would have said, oh, what a lost opportunity. If they would have won two out of three, people would have said, all right, good, but you know, I mean, find a way to win a third. Get hot here. Now, they come home to take on the Braves, who after an awful start, remember they were 0-7 to start the year, and they have all sorts of issues like Jerickson Profar, one of their big signings, over the offseason was suspended for the first 80 games. They don't have Acuna back. The Braves won 3 out of 4 last week from Washington. At least one of the games, the series opener last Monday, if memory serves me correct, the Nationals should have won. Outside of that, I can't say that, they should have split the series. Atlanta just was in Boston. Boston is struggling. And they won 2 out of 3 over the weekend. So you look and you say, well, wait a second. They're getting Spencer Strider back, who we've mentioned a couple of times, off the hamstring DL, or IL, I should say. So he hadn't pitched in a couple of weeks. So maybe he's a little rusty with his command. Maybe his pitch count is elevated in the first inning. It is going to be really, 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 really important. Forget about C.J. Abrams hitting another leadoff home run. We know he does that on a regular basis. He did it, what, twice or three times last week? And I think it's 5 times on the year. Just get on base. Work out a walk. Elevate the pitch count. Create havoc. Create stress for a guy just coming off the IL. For a guy who's probably got a limited pitch count. Now, he's very talented. He's very talented. But he's also missed a lot of baseball over the last year and a half. Tommy John surgery, again, had the hamstring on the IL. 2 runs, 5 hits, 5 innings in Toronto, whatever. Boom. So he did a 65-pitch simulated game last week. Listen, simulated games are great. They're not real games. That's why they're called simulated. This dude's a talented pitcher. Everyone knows that. And he's got great stuff. He's 20-5, 3.86 ERA in 2023, 281 strikeouts in that year. Second in the NL Rookie of the Year race in 2022. I mean, he's got talent. And if you let him get comfortable, he's going to hurt you. So for the Nationals, again, don't need a leadoff home run. I'll take it if I can get it. Just get a walk, work the count, be patient, get that pitch count elevated, create some havoc, create some stress. Try and elongate the first inning. Even if you don't score, try and elongate the first inning. There's something to be said, even if, again, you don't score, and a starting pitcher throws 20-plus pitches in the first inning. I saw some dude, I forget who it was, for the Miami Marlins, I forgot the guy's name, threw an immaculate inning. What is an immaculate inning? 9 pitches, 9 strikes yesterday against Tampa Bay. Was it Quantrill? I can't remember if it was Quantrill or not. I just can't remember. Either way, that's not what you want against Spencer Strider tonight. It's too much to ask for what they did in Baltimore early in games 2 and 3 of that series. Too much to ask. Not every game is going to go like that. Nobody needs it to go like that. But what you need, again, is for your bats not to go back to a place that they were just a couple of days ago, where you were flailing at pitches outside of the zone, where you were not working the count, where you are not doing the things that you need to do to at least, again, put pressure. And again, nobody expects leadoff home runs every game. Nobody expects 5 home runs in a game. Nobody expects any of that. Or nobody should be expecting any of that. But what they need when C.J. Abrams comes up tonight at 6:53, 6:54, even though he likes to swing at the first pitch, again, what they need more than anything, considering the pitching matchup, is patience. Yes, if Spencer Strider throws a 94-mile-an-hour fastball right down the middle of the plate, okay. But, I mean, what you need is to be patient. Don't swing at anything out of the zone. Work the count. If you can, work a deep count. Foul off some pitches. It's okay to foul off some pitches. Even if you strike out, pop out, fly out, ground out, line out, whatever. If you can turn the first at bat into a 7-8 pitch count, That helps. It may not help immediately, but it helps as the game goes along. Trust me, it does. Big series for the Nationals. Big homestand for the Nationals. Big homestand. Against the Braves for three. And then the Giants come in over the weekend. Right? And if you look and you say, you're 21-27 going into the week of Memorial Day. Generally speaking, Memorial Day is like the first kind of indicator pole position type thing in baseball. If they can win four of these six before heading out west, and that is going to be a tough road trip. If you could win four of these six, which is not unreasonable, if you could win four out of the six, it gets you to 25-29. Again, not great, but remember where they were back in 2019, as everybody likes to toss about. They were 19-31 going into Memorial Day weekend. Obviously, we're talking about something a little bit different. They've already won 21 games, so that's not going to be the case. They're already ahead of that pace, but they also don't have the same, again, proven talent that they had back in 2019. But they have young talent, and that young talent is starting to come together and play together. James Wood with a big bomb the other night in the eighth inning, Friday night, to tie up a game. Dylan Cruz, a big home run the other day. We mentioned C.J. Abrams. I can go down the rest. Yeah, we'll see what happens with Michael Young and his shoulder. But they are starting to come together. Starting to come together. Big homestand. I would be really disappointed if it's a 1-5, 2-4 homestand. You go 3-3, okay, fine. Two pretty tough customers in San Francisco and Atlanta. Giants are 8 games over .500 entering the week. But you get my point. All right, that's the story on the Nationals. When we return, a sports dum-dum of the day, and it might not make sense initially, but stay with us. We'll give it to you anyway on the Team 980. All right, before we get on out of here and make way for Craig Hoffman, I almost was the dum-dum of the day because I was about to tweet on Sunday late afternoon. Look at the NBA Game 7, an uncompetitive blowout. That would never happen in hockey, would it? Only for it to happen in hockey in Game 7 Sunday night. The Florida Panthers destroyed the Toronto Maple Leafs 6-1, leading America's most renowned hockey expert to have this first take.
Those Toronto Maple Leafs right there are the Dallas Cowboys of the NHL. The Dallas Cowboys of Canada. Just failures on an epic level every year.
Stephen A. Smith's not wrong. It's the only way to acknowledge or to get Stephen A. Smith to acknowledge that the NHL actually exists. The only way. Here's where Stephen A. Smith is right. 6-1 loss, Game 7 at home. 6-1 loss in Game 5 at home. That's an eighth straight loss in a winner-take-all game. Seven of those Game 7 defeats. Since 2013, seven Game 7 defeats and an eighth straight winner-take-all game. Think about that. Could you imagine, for all the things that we worry about with the Capitals, at least you don't have that, and you don't have one of your best players leaving in free agency as well. And you're not being compared to the Dallas Cowboys by Screamin' A. Smith. Not Stephen A. Smith. He's not the dum-dum. The Toronto Maple Leafs are. You can't throw up all over yourselves in Games 5 and 7 at home. Again. Ugh, what a mess. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thanks to AMAC. Thanks to everybody who called and chimed in today all day long. Good job out of you guys, whether you agree, disagree, whatever. That's what the show is for. Back tomorrow at 1. Craig is up next. Have a great rest of your Tuesday on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Thank you. Yeah, you can go sit down, Rooster. Goodbye.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.